In the church, there is a startling upending of our understanding of family. The prophet Isaiah foresaw that God would rescue the remnant of his people and resettle them in the land of promise. But he saw more than just that. He promised that this remnant would include many people that didn't look much like ethnic Israelites. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely separate me from his people." And let not the eunuch say, "Behold, I am a dry tree," wrote the prophet. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 3. Why would God, in a word of hope about taking his people out of exile from the foreign nations, speak this way about the inclusion of foreigners? And why would he single out eunuchs, those castrated often in order to serve pagan kings without the distraction of family? The eunuch's lament certainly seems reasonable. He has no future in front of him the way one could map it out on a family tree. Every time I read this passage, I remember being invited to speak at a men's conference for a friend of mine. Not knowing the church, I assumed the participants would be like those at other men's conferences I had attended, young, married men. I came prepared to speak on sexual temptation and the necessity of sexual joy in marriage, of rejoicing in the wife of your youth, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, with lots of material from the Song of Solomon. When I arrived, I found that there was not a man in the room under the age of 88 years old. Now, I recognize that some people are able to maintain vibrant sexual relationships right up to and beyond the centennial mark. But as I taught my material, it became obvious none of these men thought they could live up to Solomon in that way. Afterward, one ancient brother in Christ stepped forward on his walker and said to me, "Bless your heart, son. You're like Ezekiel trying to say to these dry bones, 'Live.'" I was stupid. And yet, even so, my geriatric sex conference was infinitely more realistic than God saying to eunuchs that they should not see themselves as infertile. Of course they are. They lack the equipment to consummate a marriage or to procreate children. So how could God say this? God promised that those foreigners who joined themselves to him would be genuinely a part of his people. He promised that the faithful eunuchs would have within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 and 5. One could hope for a family line to go forward, carrying one's name into the future. In the gospel, God has given us much more than that. He carries us personally into the future, through the everlasting life of resurrection from the dead. That's true even for those who are without citizenship or family, or in the case of the eunuch, without even testicles. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples," God announced, because he gathers together the outcasts of Israel, and declared, "I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." Isaiah chapter 56, verses 7 and 8. God revealed all of this right after he revealed to us a servant who would be crushed for our iniquities and would bear our sin. Isaiah